what happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Scooby to the doobie, a doobie to the Scooby.
Not good.
You didn't like that one?
He broke at the end.
I'm really undecided.
He didn't like it. He was reacting to his own scat in the scat, which was incredible. At the end of the scat, he was actually laughing at himself.
It's all part of it, man.
Welcome into the Spitballers, episode 189. Scooby to the doobie, doobie to the Scooby.
It felt almost like a palindrome. Like you were going, you went to the middle, and then you worked your way back to the beginning.
Yeah, but he didn't start with a little chuckle.
That's true.
If he had started with a little laugh.
Just saying, put that on a t-shirt.
You can do whatever you want, Mike. At Spitballers Pod on Twitter, welcome in. We have a review today. Would you rather, what's the difference? Where we break down some very important things.
Well, a lot of times people don't understand the meaning of specific words. Words matter.
Right.
And so a lot of times people, they just kind of think things are the same thing that have two different words, and that's never been the case.
And so we are going to help you, because that's what we do.
That's what we're here for.
We take difficult concepts and we make them simple for you. Also, we're drafting foods that push your poop button. Right. So that also is happening on today's show, but first let's read a review.
Reviewasaurus Rex.
This one comes in from Love My Fart Room. Five stars. I have never written a review before, but this show deserves it. You each make up a special part of the show. Mike, the hair. Jason, the hunk. And Andy, the heart. The three H's.
They forgot the C.
My sister introduced me to the show, and I was hooked by the first episode. Never in my life did I think I would love any podcast this much, but these men are the brothers I always wanted. Thank you.
Well, that's nice.
For improving my life.
I'm the heart, huh?
Yeah.
You're the heart.
Okay. Well, I mean, thank you. We read these reviews. We've said it before. We really, they fuel us.
Yeah, I literally just read it. That's proof. Not lying.
Appreciate everybody out there. By the way, if you're listening on an Apple Podcast, make sure you click the plus button. That's the follow button.
What does that
That's
do?
The follow button.
Oh.
You're not supposed to say subscribe anymore. That would be just a faux pas. Remember, words matter.
Plus it?
Plus, oh. Plus that.
What is
that? I don't know.
Smash that plus.
Let's do some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
All right, Garrett from the website. Would you rather have... I'm sorry. Let me start this again. Would you rather your spouse be able to beat you in every competition or have them outsmart you in every argument for the rest of your life?
This is terrible.
Both not options.
I mean, that's exactly right. When you were reading that, it was like, okay, well, that one's out. The first, you know, that one's out. Whatever the second one. And then I think the second one was worse.
There's one competition that my wife has always gotten the better of me at, and it is
fashion.
One that we do not play anymore.
Oh, Mario Party.
No, it's Boggle. If we've ever played Boggle, no matter how intense I attempt, you know, how much I'm focusing, no matter how much I'm trying to beat her, I will not beat her at Boggle.
Refresh my memory of what Boggle is.
Boggle is a small, you shake up 16 different letter die.
Okay.
And it goes down onto the board in a cube form. And then you just make as many words in a certain amount of time through the diagonals. And it's just, and if you match words, you cross them out. And it's original words that get you points.
I hate word games for that reason alone. When you run into a word game person,
which she
they're
is
on a different level. Like if you happen to play a game, like they need those awful people who are awesome word gamers, y'all need to stay out of casual gaming.
Scrabble devils.
You go go do your tournaments, Scrabble? Okay? Yeah, exactly. Scrabble and Boggle and all these things where you're coming up with your words and your fancy vocabulary.
Yeah, oh, I've got a degree. I went to English class.
Yeah, you stay away from our casual gaming. Let us play these games that are fun, but they're not fun when we get
you
just
think Scrabble's
smoked
fun?
Every time. Well, no, that's
it's
the
Scrabble's,
not Scrabble's
all
game.
Right.
It's not a fun game.
That is,
there's a lot of waiting.
Right.
There's a lot of waiting in Scrabble. You sure it's fun when you put your word down and you get something nice, but then you wait for people. There's no rules, right? Like, there's no time limit on how long it takes.
If there was the little hourglass thing, and that was like a
speed Scrabble,
a real part
that's
of Scrabble.
There's got to be a version of that.
But I'm saying if that was the regular, that game could be fun.
Would you rather play Scrabble or Monopoly?
Monopoly, and I hate Monopoly.
Man, that is tough. If you're playing through to the end, it has to be Scrabble, because I don't play a game for that long. Monopoly, if you actually play it through to the end, which I don't think most people have ever done.
I don't know
if anyone has ever completed a game of Monopoly.
We would all take Risk over both of those,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love Risk.
I never
Risk.
Played
Risk.
Risk
is good.
You would
it's
love
great.
It.
It's great. It does take a while, though. I'm just saying, you've completed the Risk.
Oh yeah, I've played many a game.
Is that
of Risk.
Is Risk
world domination?
Yes, thank you. I do know the concept of Risk, but is it two player? Is it three, four?
It can be.
It can be more.
Yep.
It can be up to four. I think.
All right. Maybe we need to play a game of Risk. I don't know.
We'll just have to carve out a weekend to get that done. So, anyways, that is bringing us back to the question. That's the competition I think of, where she always gets the better of me, and so I know the feeling in my heart in that moment. And so if every time I played cornhole or basketball or any pickleball, God forbid, if she won every time, I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, the paperwork would be filed, and that's not what you want.
But right. Then being outsmarted in every argument
now
would defeat me, too.
That sounds like immediately when you read this, that was the way worse thing. I do not want to be outsmarted in every argument. I want to win every argument. That is just a staple. However, there is a benefit here to being outsmarted in every argument. You actually, like, if I am genuinely outsmarted.
Right. Okay.
I am learning. I am
improving.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say everything's her fault, then.
I am getting better. I am growing in knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. When I lose in a competition, there is nothing but hatred and bile. There is no winning. I learn no lesson.
Right.
I just break my pickleball paddle.
I was going to say, did you learn any lessons on the pickleball court yesterday?
I did.
You
I
learned
did.
An expensive
I
one.
Learned that there is a very expensive pickleball paddle that is not built for throwing, because I was... So this happened. We play a lot of pickleball.
So this happened.
We play a lot of pickleball around these parts. And I played what I believe is my worst game in multiple years. I played like I had never played before. Like, this was my first time out. And I was so frustrated in myself that I threw that paddle with all my strength. And I'm proud to say I'm strong enough to buy a new paddle, because that thing was in two pieces, irreplaceable. Or fixable.
Irreparable.
Yeah, it was replaceable. Irreparable, that was the word. Thank you.
So, yeah, and to be honest with you, when I saw you throw the paddle, I didn't think you threw it that hard.
Oh, well.
So I was really impressed that it broke.
Yeah, shocking strength. Or the pickleball's
nice
made
forehand
out
is what I'm saying.
Peanut brittle.
Mike, what's your answer on this one? Which one would be worse for you?
Where I thought Jason was going is, if you are outsmarted in every argument, yes, you have a learning opportunity, but then you legitimately lost the argument where
you are dumb.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, I'm sure we've all had, you know, you don't have to call it an argument, whatever, but just a strong debate with your significant other, and you feel in your heart that you are absolutely correct, and you still end up losing the argument, and you're just, now you're mad because you're like, I'm still right, but we're going to go with your side. But if you have actually been outsmarted,
that's true.
Then you have lost, and you can realize what went wrong in the argument. So it almost feels not as bad.
I think
that's the side I want.
Yeah, I think there are two different types of people. You have people that can realize when they have lost an argument, and you have people that they can still lose the argument, but they do not know. They refuse.
Right.
There are certain people that I know that it's like, I mean, it can be clear as day, and they just will never believe that they have lost this argument. They stick to their guns when everything is shown right in front of their face.
Like somewhere being really far away, like a far drive.
Right, like if you live super far,
yeah.
Just mathematically speaking, you're like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And you're like, no, but it only takes this long to get there. And you're like, no, but it's actually really, really far away.
Because right, we proved it.
Yeah.
With math and science.
For example.
Just throwing that out there. Like if you live...
People are really into this inside joke that we're talking about.
We are
about.
Roasting Jeremy here, because before we turned on the...
I can't believe they did this to you, buddy. Yeah.
I just hopped on. Mike did this to you. I'm always on the
you're,
bus that drives
the
over
car.
People. Yeah,
he's already
sure.
on the ground. I'll kick him.
It's easy. It's right here. But yeah, we were grilling Jeremy for how super far away he lives, and he was refusing to believe that mm-hmm. that's true, because like we said, when
yes,
you have lost an argument, some people don't realize it.
Oh God!
I
you're
do
killing
think,
him. You're I, killing him. I can feel. I can. I can feel it. I can feel him. He may.
He's not even chiming
his,
in. He's
his just, heart rate right now has got to be at a world class athlete level.
He's just vibrating.
His watch is
just vibrating with
his,
anger.
His watch is telling him he's playing a hockey game. Right
he's
now.
Like, let me show you how close I live. And he hits the car right
Would
now.
Would you like me to call the ambulance?
He's about to Will Smith you.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, you're right. That's true. How quick would you become the person that just goes with what she said? Because why debate? If you know you're going to be outsmarted, there is a freedom in saying, you're probably right on this one.
There are, yeah, I mean, I've been around people, you know, I remember my former occupation when we were making video games, that there was an artist that I just kind of started to trust everything she did. I was just like, I used to debate, and I'm like, yeah, you're always right here. So it was really nice. So I think I will take that. I will take being outsmarted every argument. I think I will learn and be quick to, you know,
and just dominate
concede.
All the other arguments.
Well, then we're doing a lot of competitions. I mean, according right. to this, would you rather? We are playing every
That's
game. We're
solution.
Playing bags. We're playing board games. We're playing poker, everything at all the time.
Oh, so
I'm
when a disagreement comes up and she's like, do you want to debate this? You say, you know what? Let's just settle this with a game of cornhole.
Right. I'll paper, rock, scissors you for this debate.
Louise from Twitter, would you rather go to prison on the weekends, so Friday through Sunday, so an extended weekend, for the rest of your life, or do a 3-year stint and be done? What Ooh. A great would you rather question.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So you never get a weekend vacation getaway, you know.
That's the rest of your life.
That's the rest of your life. You can never do something on the weekend forever, but a 3-year stint. So let's do the math on the
yeah,
days.
Yeah, I was just about to do that. So 3 times 52, that's 156 days per year. That's going to bring you to approximately 6 years worth of doing that. You're matching 3 years in prison. So you're never free. You're going to definitely do more days in prison with the weekend plan. You're just never going to do a long extended time.
But there is a big difference here in who you are. Like if you just go to the prison on weekends, I don't feel like I was ever a prisoner. Like I'm a visitor. You know what I mean? It's the going back to Monopoly. I'm just visiting. I'm not in jail. I'm just passing by. Whereas once you do a 3-year stint, you get out as like an ex-con. You know what I mean? Like you lived that life. That was you. So I feel like there's, is there like a stigmata there? Is there a worry?
Yes, there's a lot of bleeding from your eyes.
Yes, what's the word I'm looking
Stigma?
For? Yeah, there you go. Way to call me out on that one.
Words
that was,
matter.
Words, see, we are here to
We're
teach
proving
you
that
words
point.
Matter. A stigma. Thank you.
I just let him go, too. I was like, did
yeah,
I?
A stigma. Stigmata
I mean,
is...
I think there's going to be a stigma when you're like, hey, do you want to come to my birthday party on Saturday? And you go, hey, I'm in prison. Don't forget.
Stigmata is the when, like, the statue bleeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, a real banger of a horror movie from
the
90s.
I'm going to try the 3-year stint. I mean, it's tough. I hate any question on Would You Rather where I am presuming that I'm like... gonna be alive in 3 years or something, like where you're just presuming tomorrow, like, oh, I'm gonna get out of the way. But I mean, you could die in prison.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what percentage short. Chance
that's where the killers go.
I mean, you're which not- one of us does better in prison?
Oh, that's a great question. Who does better in prison?
What's the key to prison?
I think
is it blending in? Is it keeping your head down? Is it establishing dominance? I mean, which one?
None of us are establishing dominance. We're not getting into a prison and being like going up and punching the biggest guy and saying, "This is my prison."
I think Mike does the best in prison.
Well, he's got the tats, so that helps.
Tattoos. Also, he likes to keep to himself.
Yes,
and he looks.
Oh, the resting angry face.
You look more intimidating than you really. You're more of a threat visually than you really might be.
Oh, yeah,
in prison.
I'm a teddy bear.
Yeah. But don't tell them that.
See, I feel like I'm more the opposite. I look like a teddy bear. And
right.
I think they would really
but
try.
But you're just an inferno of rage?
Oh, man. When I rage, I'm sure I could protect myself in some situations.
The spinning around with your fists out is not considered proper self-defense.
Tell that to the Tasmanian devil. Okay. You sound like an idiot.
I think Mike does the. I'm not going to do great.
No, I think it's Mike, me, then you.
Yeah, I'm going to do bad.
I'm reading so many books.
Have you ever had a cellmate with a gas problem?
My cellmate will. I think I take the. I think you have to do the 3-year stint.
I think you got to give it a shot.
Taking up your weekends for the rest of your life.
Can we do it together, the three of us, and have our own little like gang?
Ooh, that'd be good. Would we snap like West Side Story?
We're the ballers.
Yeah, we're the ballers.
That would be a real big. We're getting shanked real quick.
We gotta kill those guys.
They keep snapping.
All right, Mike. Which one is your final answer?
You got to do the 3-year.
All right. Do we have time for another? Would you rather?
We do.
This one comes from Jeremy's daughter. From the website?
What? Not my daughter.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have a daughter,
I
so
do
that's good.
Would you rather know when you're going to die but not be able to tell your family?
Oh,
or all your
deep.
Or your family all knows when you're going to die, but they're not allowed to tell you?
Oh, man. What is with the super intense question?
I love it. So here's the real question. Let's break down the first part because one of these presumes something good. That knowing when you're going to die is a good thing.
Is it?
Well, no. I'm not sure that it is, but I think this question kind of presumes that is a good thing, that you know when you die.
Well, I guess
it's necessary for this question for somebody to know
but here's
when
the
you're
thing.
Dying.
If you know when you're going to die, and let's say that's locked, right?
Yeah.
Like can't change.
This is fate. It really changes things where you're just like, I'm going to go do dangerous things. You know, like, I've been scared to jump out of a plane and skydive with no parachute.
Right.
But I know that I cannot die at this very moment. I know something is going
to
happen.
You know, though, you'll never know enough to do that.
Well, that's what is it.
There's
do
no
I
way
know
you,
that it's locked?
There's you magic
know,
here.
You can know that it's locked, but that's not the same thing as knowing certainly. Like I guess you have to ease up to that level. You'd have to start with like,
maybe a parachute.
Just saying, like, it's like...
I just wonder if you'd ever have the true... Because at some point, you're going to have to put it to the test where you do something that would kill you, and it doesn't happen.
Well,
and that moment would be hard.
It would be like Domino, the superhero in the Deadpool movie, where it's just like, lucky crap just keeps happening. Like, if someone's going to fire a gun at you, it just all of a sudden, the gun just keeps misfiring and jams. You're like,
okay.
Yeah, because I know that I cannot die right now.
Would you go...
It's a war.
Would you go the superhero route if you had that ability? I mean, like, to me, every time I've thought about having that level of invincibility, because that's what it is, right? It is.
Yes.
It's just a reword. Like, if you find out, Mike, you're locked, 84 years old, lung cancer.
Right.
All right? At that point, do you owe it to society to use your power, or is it just fun? Like, would you go...
Fun.
Would
definitely
you, like,
fun.
Dress your car up and is a superhero car.
So here's the problem with this premise is that it's not invulnerability. Like, I could still get beat
you
up.
You could get maimed.
Yeah.
Broken arm. It's I don't want to get hurt.
You're right.
I really don't like discomfort. It's very uncomfortable for me. So I believe that I would not help society as a superhero.
I think the first one is my final vote. And that's an easy one. If my family knows that is a burden that I don't want them to bear, since we're getting heavy, the first one, I'm going to know, and I'm going to be able to get my affairs, hopefully, in some sort of order.
It's 20 minutes from now.
I mean, if you knew, 20 minutes is a problem. But if you knew, you'd be able to kind of set some things up.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
That's your family true. Not being able to tell you, they're going to start acting different. That day when they but come they along and they're like, do you want to take one more walk around the lake? Why? We just walked around the lake.
See, I think that's the loophole here. I think you should take that one because now my life continues on totally normally. Like, for instance, if my family knows that I die at 84 years old, they're not going to change a thing.
But what if it's next year?
But then, see, that's the thing. Now, once it comes to bear, now once it's like, oh, this is going to happen, they might not be able to tell me. But I'm going to know because they're going to act different. They're going to be wearing that on their sleeve.
And you'll go, is it today? Is it today? Just tell me.
Just tell me. But here's the deal. Let's say they can't tell me and maybe they're starting to act that way because it's a year away and they know it's the final year and that's a long time.
Oh, then you're sitting there going,
a panic attack
every day.
But I'm actually
doing the opposite. Instead of a panic attack, it's making the most of my life. For a long time, like, you know, if you knew that you'd have, you know, we talked about this on a recent show where it was like your perfect day, you don't want to nap because it's like you're deleting part of the day. But if it's your final day, you wouldn't nap. You were going to take and use the most of your time.
Does that mean eating what you want?
You know it. You know it. But I would also probably be far more active with my family. You know what I mean? Like that whole last year, the boys were like, go on the trampoline with me. I'd be like, yep, but let's go.
Yeah, that. Boy, they're going to be really excited to jump with you. Yeah. You're somber everywhere.
The only reason I'm doing this is because I know I'm going to die soon.
You're not going to be building that.
I want you to know that.
No plans. You won't be making any like future, like, you want to do that remodel? I don't know if that remodel's really worth it right now.
Where can they get that done?
So are you going with that one?
I'm
going
to go with that one.
So we're split, Mike. Yeah. Which one's yours?
I'm taking I know, because I'm the same as you. Like, it's a burden, and I will carry it by myself.
Man, it would be quite the random draw, though. Like, it could be a burden, or it could be like they find out it's like 96 years old.
In a motorcycle accident.
Not for my family.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then move on.
If you're hiring for your business on your own, you're basically playing highway to spell without a dictionary in front of you, and you don't need to do that. You just need to breathe, take it easy, and keep it simple. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, and here's why. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. They streamline hiring with their powerful tools that find you matched candidates. In fact, with Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. I have been a business owner for many, many years. We have had to go through the process of hiring, and when you're using all sorts of sites and trying to find a way to manage it on your own, it is just a waste of time, and it's not as powerful as using Indeed. That's what I love about them. Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring platform, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest 2019. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/ballers. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/ballers. Just go to Indeed.com/ballers and support the show by saying you heard about it on this podcast. Indeed.com/ballers. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's the difference between me and you?
All right, Jason, I mean, he illustrated it very well using a number of words earlier, but
what's the difference between a stigma and a stigmata?
Yeah, there you go. So this is the part of the show.
It's a very narrow line.
We break it down.
Yes.
We help you out. What's the difference between getting scared, spooked, and startled?
Okay. Yes.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't know.
Yes.
Glad you guys are tuning in.
I mean, when you think about those three words, startled and spooked, are those in the same? Are those in the same degree of scared?
No. So it's really in what's doing the scaring.
Is it?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yes. When you spooked is almost always ghosts.
Yeah. Or, supernatural.
Supernatural. Really? I don't want to limit it to just ghosts because, you know, poltergeist or
which is a ghost.
Or
Casper.
Casper. You know, any kind of ghost, but any supernatural.
Or like a dead person, their spirit comes back.
Right. Someone that's died, and then, like, they're hanging around. You know, you ever seen Sixth Sense? Like, characters.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but I do think that to be spooked, it's got to be something that is supernatural, eerie.
Oh, eerie. Okay, now it fits the bill. Because I was going to say, couldn't you get spooked if, let's say, you have that situation where you were going to board that plane, and then you didn't, and you got delayed, but then that plane went down. Would you be spooked?
I think you'd be...
Oh, man, I could have gotten on that plane,
lucky.
But I didn't.
Perhaps.
Is that too big of a scenario to be spooked?
When it's after the fact,
you live in a state of being spooked.
Right. Yes.
You are actively feeling it.
You are afraid of what's coming. So, like, for instance, the difference between being scared and being spooked, right? Like, if you thought that there was some guy right outside your window.
Right, a masked.
Now I'm scared. I'm not spooked.
Right.
Because that's a real person died yet.
Scared's like scared's like you're in a very active state.
Yeah, active state and a real problem.
Like it could cause you an issue.
And it's an extended period of time.
Now, startled's like when I walk into the pantry and I didn't realize somebody else was already in there.
Yes, startled is in an instant, and I'm so glad this is coming up because the difference between startled and scared needs to be laid out for people.
Big time.
Because you get accused of being scared when you're startled.
Yes.
I scared you.
I admit this. I startle probably easier than anyone you've ever met in your
you're a
entire
quick startle.
Life.
I will take that challenge.
And on top of that, I frequently hurt myself. When I'm startled, the whiplash, something happens in my whole body. It's really not a good survival technique of my body when I'm startled. My reaction is to just tighten every muscle.
Oh, you like pull muscles
body.
And stuff?
So my neck just gets thrown out, and now for days I'm in pain. Because,
but you weren't scared.
No. But thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say is, no, you did not scare me. You startled me.
Yeah,
and there is a very big difference. I do not scare easy. I startle easy.
Oh. And this discussion has happened.
It's 100% the truth.
Because your kids
though.
Take credit.
Yes.
For scaring you.
Yeah, and if you scare easy, you're a big wimp.
For sure.
You're a big weenie.
Wimps always scare easy.
Yeah.
I'm strong, Mike.
That's
I am a tough,
too,
strong guy. Now,
me too.
If I walk around a corner, and let's say you were just standing there.
Right.
You weren't trying to do anything. You just happened to be there.
Yep.
You're going to startle the crap out of me.
And also, you will have startled me.
I was going to say, is that a double startle?
Sure.
But neither of you were
scared of each other. We're not scared at all, man.
You ever seen the video of the goats that, like, when they get startled, they just fall over and their legs go rigor mortis? Mm-hmm.
I live 100% of my startle life when I am trying to sleep. I am the lightest sleeper on the planet. A pin drops in the... I have to have white noise.
Okay. Because
if a pin drops in a room across the house... I will get up and be like,
now you got to be careful though, because that could be getting spooked. It could be a ghost.
Right. You do have
you
to be
careful.
You said
it's nighttime, right? And that's the only ghost only exists
so
at
if
night.
So the same reaction, but if it's caused by a ghost, I'm being spooked.
100%.
If it's caused by, like, you know, the dog rustling against, you know, a door, that is being startled.
And then
it's a dead dog.
Right.
Yes,
well, of course.
Yes. Then it's
you're understanding it. The real last situation that is something that changes, and it's the only situation I can think of that actually qualifies for all three, if you were to walk around the corner and unexpectedly there was someone wearing like a sheet, then they look like a ghost, you're startled. Right. But then you think, oh no, I'm spooked because it's a ghost, but it's actually a person. So they did, in fact,
ooh,
scare
but
you.
But if the person under the sheet was a murderer, you would then be
scared. That's right.
I have one final question here, though. What is the ruling on zombies?
I think that's still supernatural. Very. Oh.
Because
I see what you're saying.
We tried to say that it's ghosts or for when you're spooked.
It's a fleshy ghost.
But no, but Mike's point is here because like, that's scary.
Yes.
That's not spooky.
Terrifying.
Because I think when we say supernatural, what we really mean is can't actually hurt you.
Yes, they're transparent.
Right, you can walk right through
a zombie could eat you.
A zombie right. is going to, yeah, that's scary.
Terrified.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right, what is the difference between an asteroid, a comet, and a meteor? Now, see, this one has a scientific answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is
totally.
It, Jay?
Yeah. If you want to know the science between what an asteroid, a comet, and a meteor is, just listen to me.
I will tell you right now.
A comet is going to be a thing in the sky. Uh-huh. It doesn't come. It's not going to land in our atmosphere. It's got a tail.
Right.
And usually it's associated with a person, like sometimes Halley.
Yeah.
Like you say, oh, that's Halley's comet. And so you'd look up and there's this big, beautiful, it's almost like a shooting star.
Now, she claimed it, or is it?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. She was the first to see it. So Halley gets to name it. A meteor and an asteroid, these get often confused with one another. Because a lot of people think it's the same
thing. These are closer together. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not the same thing. Because
let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why. Because a meteor is way bigger than an asteroid. Wait, I'm being told. This just in. Asteroid is way bigger than a meteor. So that was the difference? The difference is size?
Not only.
Oh, well, of course not. In addition to the size of an asteroid being bigger, one of them has to come into the atmosphere. Maybe.
Well, yeah, I believe at that point then a meteor becomes a meteorite.
Yeah, that's the difference.
We didn't want to bring it up.
Right.
The rest you can really read online.
An asteroid is bigger. Okay, so now that I've
some resources for you.
Yeah, now that I've clearly explained
ask your parents
what it is, ask your parents. I do want to know the answer.
It's the composition of what it is.
Like, right, that's what I said.
Yes, yeah. Okay. The comet, the reason it has the tail is because it's made out of ice.
Ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a real Kristen Wiig moment there. Yeah. All right, what's the difference between a cat nap, a power nap, a regular nap, and a sleep?
Oh, okay, ooh, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Sleep, let's just get it out of the way. It's longer.
Oh, for sure.
That's easy. Sleep, easy peasy.
If you're
where's the threshold?
If you're over 3 hours. We've talked about
this
before.
Yeah, we have talked about it before. 3 hours was the line?
Yeah, because if it's under 3 hours, it's not a
2 hours and 45 minutes as a nap.
Yeah. That's
3 hours and 15 minutes is short sleep.
Yeah, that's right.
Got it.
A power nap, I know this one is 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. That's a power nap. You go too long, and you're not getting the power from the nap.
Okay.
You can ruin that.
But where I'm struggling here is the power nap to the cat nap.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Well, it's really, they're both short, right? A cat nap and a power nap are both short. But one of them, you know how
when
you wake up from one of these short naps, sometimes you are rejuvenated. You feel like, man, that really changed the outlook of the rest of my day. That's a power nap.
Mm.
But sometimes you wake up and you feel so stupid.
Well, that is the worst feeling. The waking up from a nap feeling like something is off. But I think this is about intention. I think it's a power nap, you went to do it. A cat nap, you slipped into it.
Okay.
So the power nap, you're like, man, I could really use a nap right now to get me through the rest of this day.
Do you think that's why you intentionally wake up rejuvenated versus waking up feeling stupid like a cat?
It's possible, yeah. It's possible that a power nap gets out of control and that thing can get away from you and then you're almost in sleep zone and that's not a good place. But you set out to do it. A cat nap, That has to happen while you're possibly watching a television show.
That's the you lay down telling yourself, I'm just going to lay down.
Right.
But I will continue to keep watching the show. And then
that's what I think.
20 minutes pass.
What's a regular nap, though?
A regular nap is over 30 minutes. You hit a little bit of REM. You hit a little bit of REM cycle.
But what's the difference between a regular and a power then? If power is about intention.
Power is short.
Power is 20 to 30 minutes.
20 to 30.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear about the famous creative people that would intentionally like go to sleep with a they'd be holding a spoon, right?
Yes.
And as soon as they slip into the nap, they drop the spoon. It would wake them up and spark creativity so that they could paint a painting or make
I don't understand. They're like, yeah, I fall asleep in this chair.
Yeah.
Hold it. I'm like, what? You're falling asleep in your rickety wooden chair? It's really uncomfortable. There's no way you're falling asleep there.
I don't think that that actually worked well. I think that it inspired artists because they were still in another place. They were so tired. That's a catnap to me because they come out just being an insane person, which if a cat were a person,
right,
it would be an insane person.
It would.
Yeah, that's fair. Did we settle that pretty well?
Yeah, I think we got it.
You want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
What is the difference between fog, smoke,
okay,
and haze? I mean, smoke and fog seem very obviously different.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, smoke is created from something burning.
Yeah, combustible.
Yes.
Fog is it's something that comes
from Mother Nature.
Yeah.
But
now,
how
does it get there?
No one
really knows.
Yeah, experts are still trying to figure it
out. I believe the clouds push it downward. It's a low cloud.
It's a baby cloud.
It's a baby cloud. It's actually how clouds give birth. When a cloud gives birth, it's kind of like if you've ever watched a cow give birth.
Right.
And it's exactly the same.
The baby calf drops to the ground. And that's what's happening. This cloud is really like saying, I'm too full. Look how big my belly is. And then they kind of.
Where is the belly of a cloud?
It's right in the middle.
Now, haze comes from pollution.
But it also has to factor in how beautiful the light is.
It can be purple.
Right, exactly. The light matters here. Purple haze, you've heard of that. I mean,
which comes from pollution.
If it's dark, you know, the sun is not yet really up.
It's hazy out.
It's not really hazy because you need light and color for it to be hazy. I don't think you can have like if it's white, if the fog is white, it's fog.
Okay.
But can it be foggy and hazy at the exact same time?
I don't think so because
it can't.
I think the fog can turn into haze. I really do. I think that if there's other colored lights around lighting up that little baby cloud.
Okay, so it's just lit fog.
Right, colored fog.
Right,
colored fog is what we call haze.
But it's from an external source.
Right. The color.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the fog can't actually change.
Fog cannot produce color. It's one of the most commonly known facts.
Yeah. That's like because the third principle of
ergonomics. But the clouds just don't have colors.
That's right.
So clouds, if they're giving birth, they're not, unless.
They go dark gray sometimes.
Oh, that is true. We've got a problem.
Dark gray. I mean, that's like a weak attempt at a color.
Is
by
it?
by the cloud.
Okay.
It's not doing much to look different.
If when fog comes, that is, and it is a cloud giving birth.
Right.
What is rain?
Pee.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Because I always thought that, and my mom was like, no, it's not. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
What's acid rain?
Oh, that's when they've had, like, asparagus.
Yeah, we're actually, that's a pretty good segue to this draft. Because what comes out of you is really dependent upon what goes in you.
It's also super important to end this segment.
Today's show is brought to you by Skylight Frame. The holidays are upon us. Gifts, we got to find good ones. We got to find meaningful ones, fresh ones, and it can be very difficult, but it's not. Listen to me. The Skylight Frame. Boom. You're done. This is what you got to get. Grandma and Grandpa, check. Check them off the list. Just get them a Skylight Frame. Here's what it is. It's a digital frame that is extremely easy to add pictures to. We spend so much time taking pictures with our phones, and then we're never actually looking at these photos. Well, Skylight Frame has solved that problem for us, and you can get Grandma and Grandpa the frame. Get it for your spouse. Anyone who wants to enjoy pictures, which is everybody you know, we all want to see these precious photos, and it's so easy to use. You can add the pictures right from your phone. Skylight, it's a touchscreen photo frame. You can send the photos, like I said, straight from your phone, and they appear in seconds. And you can easily personalize Skylight with gift mode. Gift mode lets you add photos to the frame ahead of time, so as soon as it's unwrapped and plugged in, boom, there it is. Their most treasured memories, they're going to appear. Grandma and Grandpa will love it. I have a Skylight frame in my office, and I love updating this with all the new pictures that I get of my kids. As a special limited time offer for our listeners, get $15 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com/ballers. To get $15 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com/ballers. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/ballers.
The Spitballers Draft.
Well, if it's your first time on this show, this is a good template for what you're going to listen to in episodes past.
Congratulations for making it this far.
Today's draft is foods that push your poop button. So
we've all been there.
We've all been there. Now, that is not to say you avoid them.
Oh, never.
Right?
Of course not.
I mean, nobody in this entire office makes more choices in this department than Mike.
Yes.
Where he knows what will ravage.
Yes.
And he puts on these blinders. He puts them on.
It's not really a blinder. It's just, it's how do I feel right now?
Oh, and now versus later.
Like what am I willing to take on? Like there are penalties to be paid for these things. Which,
the iron price.
Yes. And it is a really unfortunate situation for my life because my 101 is very easy because it is quite possibly my favorite food. And it's also the thing that sends everyone to the bathroom.
Does the trick.
It's a good old fashioned burrito.
Okay. Because that's your favorite food.
Oh, my gosh. I love burritos so much. All of them. Chipotle burritos, real authentic Mexican burritos, food burritos.
You get the triad of poop button with a burrito.
Yes.
You get size, right? It's generally girthy.
Which, honestly, that's I think, the biggest problem with the Chipotle burrito.
But you get spice, too.
Yeah, you get spice and you get beans, which can get as well. But I think that, the bad rap is not going against I'm saying it's going against the ingredients, but it's really just you're eating something that is way too big. It should not go into your stomach. And then your body is doing its best to work through the gigantic burrito that just ate.
If they called it something different, if they called it a poo wrap.
Oh,
right.
Would it change any of the amount of times you'd order it?
Does it still taste the same?
It tastes the same.
Then no.
So you just straight up order the poo wrap.
Oh, my gosh. It's so
I think he already knows he is.
Yes.
Okay.
So a rose by any other color still smells as sweet. A rose by any other color. That is the phrase. Don't look it up. That is definitely
today has been special. All right. Jason, you are up with your first pick.
This one's pretty easy for me. This is... it's got a lot of ingredients that really
stir things up.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it because it stirs things up.
Life of the party.
Going to create a lot of gas, and the gas is really going to help move things
propel
this forward. I'm talking about a nice bowl of chili.
Okay, yeah.
You get chili, you get all them beans and ground nasty meat. There's never high quality meat in chili.
It's kind of the leftovers.
Yeah, you don't want to know, where that meat comes from, and then you've got all the seasonings, the chili powders are, they move things along.
Now you went with chili. Now for my first pick, I need a ruling, because my 101
beverages count
was actually no.
You can drink chili.
My number one was going to be a chili cheese dog. Now, that is, there's the cheese, there's the dog. Is that permissible?
I will. Look, I took chili. I feel like I should be allowed to rule on this.
Yeah, so go for it.
I think that's good. Because a chili cheese dog, you got a whole other thing to work with here. A hot dog by itself can really be a problem.
Right.
I feel like you took a better pick than me.
So chili cheese dog to me has got to be the trick. And honestly, if it didn't push that button with such ferocity, I think I'd eat these all the time. But it really does a number on
chili
the old...
Chili cheese dog is a young man's game.
You're right, it is.
Like, I remember being a wee lad, like, at an amusement park and just housing chili cheese dogs, jumping on a roller coaster, and having absolutely no repercussions for my actions.
I feel very, very confident in saying there's no food I've thrown up more than
a chili, than cheese,
a chili cheese dog.
Really poop. But
that's a different button.
Yeah,
it pushes all the buttons, my friends. There are a bunch of buttons inside, and it just says out. It pushes the out button.
It's the elf in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes
all of them. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes all the stops.
Yeah.
All right. So, I have another pick.
Yes, you do.
Oh, this is not a bad draft to have two in a row.
No. Are you going to go with regular hot dog?
No, this is tough. I wasn't thinking about the second pick. I guess I will just go with Bob, a big old burger.
Oh, okay.
A big old burger. It's built to.
Is that a common thing?
A big old burger?
No. Calling it a Bob.
No, I just.
Okay.
You're just trying it out right now.
I thought maybe I'd miss something.
I just think a big old burger. Again, it's got the special qualities of a burrito where no one man should be consuming this much. But
and then
it's got to have at least two patties.
Grease.
I do find.
Oh, the grease.
Yeah, the grease is going to help lube things up.
It's going to grease it.
I do find that my number one, poop causer is...
Number one, number two.
Right. My number one, number two is due to volume. The way that my body works is that right now I am completely full all the way up to the stomach. And so I just push it out.
Like Go-Gurt.
Yes, 100%. This is a Go-Gurt situation. You can't put more Go-Gurt in the tube without it coming out the other side of the tube.
There's a max capacity.
And so the Go-Gurt machine is working. I love that.
Now, when you have the mental picture of that, are you seeing the objects that you had previously eaten in their unchewed state in your stomach? Like you're seeing the full chicken leg and the...
Yeah. Bone and everything.
Okay.
All right. So
you're back up.
Now I'm going to take the one thing that is different than that. Most of my list is basically going to be that Go-Gurt situation where I'm pushing the next thing
volume.
But the one thing that can really get me moving, and it's true for almost everybody.
Yeah.
It's probably the 101 on lists of things to
start the timer.
Yeah. It's coffee.
Yes.
Coffee is going to get you cleared out. And I'm not I know you two are every morning coffee drinkers. I like coffee. I really enjoy a good cup, but I'm always rushing in the morning. So I don't always have coffee. But I find that half of the coffees I have are when it's, I need to.
The Go-Gurt factory's not moving.
The Go-Gurt factory's not working. I need to work something out. I'm going to make me a coffee.
It's an intentional button push.
That's right. This is...
So we need to get things going.
Yep. And I feel like...
is it effective almost all the time?
Yeah, I would say it's... Yeah, it doesn't take much. So, I can get going.
That factory just needs a little help.
It just needs a push. That's like a motivational speaker coming into my factory. Really ramping things up. Going, guys, let's get this production line moving.
You can be more efficient.
You can do this. Let's go. Turn that button on.
Coffee is the motivational speaker of the digestive system.
That is right.
Okay, well said. Mike, you are back up. You got your burrito.
I did. Coffee would have been my second pick. And then my three and four, I don't know. This is just me. And they are, so I'll just take them both at the same time. They are food that come together. Generally speaking, I don't know why we have decided that we need to combine multiple poop button pushing foods
together.
But I will take pizza. and I will take hot wings.
Okay. Mm.
Because that's setting a timer for not, it's not the 15 minute coffee timer. It's the 2 a.m. timer that I know I'm going to.
How spicy?
Oh, you got to go hot.
Super hot.
You got to go hot. And I know that I will be awoke at some point.
Awoken?
Yes, awoken.
Awaken?
At some point during the night. And
does that really happen?
Oh, yeah.
You really get awoken to poop.
It just happened to me 2 nights ago.
All right.
Yes. Your body doesn't wake you up?
That has never happened to me in my life.
We don't eat quite like that.
I do.
That's madness, man. I can't imagine a life where you don't have, if you eat certain foods, 3, 4 a.m., your body wakes up and goes, yep, you got to go now.
It's definitely happened before. I mean, I feel like when you combine pizza and hot wings, you've already got, it's like someone trying to blow open a door with an explosive device.
Yes.
You already have enough, and some other guy comes along, and they're like, let's put another bomb on there. And you're like, no, the door's going to open all by itself.
Sir, we were just trying to open the door, not annihilate
not
it.
Blow the building up.
That's a good comp.
So burrito, pizza, hot wings. I mean, that's a trifecta of deliciousness, frankly.
Oh, yes.
Jason, it's back to you. You have chili, coffee. We prefer another C word.
Well, I wasn't going to go this way, but you are right. I do have the three C's, or I'm about
to. Oh, you got a third?
Well, yeah, because I have two, and I should have three. So I'm taking chorizo.
Oh, yeah.
Just
nice
some
pick.
Good old-fashioned spicy, greasy meat.
Yes.
Just,
it's so good.
Just slide it right through. Just put it right through. This is conveyor belt eating.
Yes.
There is no digestion happening here. This just
you
goes,
don't need to.
You don't need. It's just so greased up that it. The only thing is, it's going to increase the temperature on the way out. That's it. So yeah,
chorizo is so delicious.
Oh gosh, it's so good.
A chorizo burrito.
It's
so
good. But so
yes.
I mean, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a battle.
Yeah, the starting a day with like a chorizo breakfast burrito, it's...
The rest of your day
is set. Yeah, clear the schedule because I've decided to eat this for breakfast.
All right, I have to make my final two picks here.
Yep.
All right, I think this one might be... I don't know if it's everybody. I don't know if it's just because this food is eaten traditionally in the time that most people poop, which is mornings. I know a lot of people got morning poop schedules. It's bacon and eggs.
Okay.
Interesting. For whatever reason, just a big, I wanted to say big old breakfast, but I already did big old burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't put it all together, but the breakfast
food. You can't have two bobs.
You can't have two bobs. So, and you can't, you guys said you have to draft specific foods, and I feel like bacon and eggs are another thing. When you combine them together, you get the grease, you get some volume. Eggs do something special in the body in general.
Protein powered.
Well, I mean, come on, eggs and gas, they're associated with one another.
Are they?
Of course they are.
Oh, egg farts?
I
had a big helping of deviled eggs this morning, fellas.
Yeah, well, we know what's coming.
Yeah. I just wanted to pre-apologize.
Okay.
I was not aware of the egg farts.
I mean, deviled eggs, when I make a decision to get deviled eggs, I'm thinking of how farty do I want to be.
Interesting.
You don't know about egg farts?
Well, see, what you don't understand or what you actually do understand is everything makes me fart. It does, so I don't pay attention to
neutral.
These foods that make other people fart because that's just...
But it's
food.
it's not just food
farts. Do you ever have the food farts?
It's not just quantity of the fart. The egg fart smells like an egg fart.
So I would
because you go, oh, that smells like a bad egg.
That's fair. And then
deviled eggs.
I'm just gonna go with
deviled eggs is a good pick.
I'm just gonna go with beans.
Okay.
I mean, beans in all shapes, sizes, and forms are they were created for this.
They're
effort.
A magical fruit.
Mean old beans.
Mean old beans. Big old burger and mean old beans.
Yeah. So that's my chili cheese dog, big old burger, bacon and eggs and beans.
All right.
Okay.
And you could have a whole day. We should be forced to have one day where eat the four objects on the list.
Because that will not be just a day.
It will go on into the future.
Yes.
All right.
Your final pick.
I am up, and I've got a final pick.
You have to. You have no choice but to complete the poetry in motion.
Well, the problem with this poetry is I only have one thing with a C left, and it was a carne asada burrito, which you already took a burrito.
That is correct.
So I won't pull an Andy over here. I love that I give him permission. I drive the bus.
That's good.
So I there is a C in the word. It's just not in the beginning. But I'm going to take an Arby's beef and cheddar.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Well, I mean, let's just get right down to
it's
it.
It's on my list.
I mean, I have said for now multiple decades, there is a special manufactured chemical that Arby's, now I think they put it in everything they got.
Oh, yeah, it's in the roast beef, it's in the cheese, it's in the Arby's sauce, it's in the bun.
It's in the highest concentration in the beef and cheddar, which... I don't think it's consumable. I don't think we should be consuming it. And what happened?
I love a beef and cheddar.
Oh, it tastes delicious.
It is one of my absolute favorite things to poop out.
But your body,
it's a delight.
Your body says when it goes in and it goes in easy, deliciously. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I could eat a high quantity of those, like a lot of them.
They used to have the 5 for $5 deal, brother. Yeah. And then the big toilet company said, you can't do this anymore.
We can't.
You have to charge more.
We can't handle it.
You're ruining our product.
So, but anyways, yeah, no, that's a good pick. And they have a chemical that is made to, it's made for evacuation.
Yes. All right, my last pick. This is very individualized. And I think maybe I'm just going to spread some awareness here of people, after you eat this, just pay attention and realize.
Be on your guard?
Yeah, maybe it's coming from this food and I don't realize because it is chock full of fiber. It's popcorn.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what?
Yeah. This thing is fully loaded with fiber. And I remember as a lad going to the movie theater and I would, you know, put down a bunch of popcorn. I would get home and it would be bad bowl. Like,
game on.
Like there is nothing.
Challenge accepted.
There is nothing solidified about what is happening after I eat a big
really?
Old bag of popcorn.
So do you
popcorn.
Avoid popcorn because of that?
No. I did back then because it was it feels like the results were far worse back then. But yeah, man, popcorn can get people. And then you add in like fake chemical.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Cheese and stuff in
oh,
there.
You betcha. I am an It'll embarrassment when I put the powder on the popcorn in a quantity that has to be a week or two's worth of sodium intake.
So do you do the powder and the Whew. And the liquid butter?
Yes.
No.
What?
I don't do any liquid butter.
Okay.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Powder only. It's like a dry rub.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah. So no?
Nope, no butter. Those are also, like, they're so fake, and they're so not, like...
Oh, they're terrible.
I like the dry.
Have you seen the trick where people put, like, a straw in the popcorn and then put it up to the butter machine
so that
butter goes down inside the bag?
Wow, I've not seen that. I mean, I've seen the workers that layer the butter, put a scoop of popcorn butter. If you work at a movie theater.
I was
going to
say, that's the single most annoying request.
No. If you work at a movie theater, please always do this. Do not even make me request it.
Not going to happen.
If I say, no, I've had it happen like half of the time.
Oh, where they ask you.
Where they say, do you want butter? I say yes. And then I go and I watch them layer my butter.
Oh, they layer it by default?
Yes. And that's a professional.
You got profiled.
Well, guilty as charged, continue to profile me.
You got profiled. Oh, man.
Layered? Yeah.
Do you have to ask? Look at this body.
What did we learn today?
I learned that joke might have been the funniest one ever to Jeremy because I just hear him cackling for way too long back there. He is... I don't think it's coming through the mics.
Do they layer your butter, Jeremy?
They do now. A couple years ago, they didn't. But
that's
things
like,
have changed.
It's like the moment when you stop getting carded for drinks. You're like, ah.
They no longer ask if I want butter.
They assume. I learned the stigma-stigmata difference today, despite the fact I think Jason learned it as well.
No. I knew it.
It's intentional. The world learned. The world learned that startled and scared are very different things.
Yes.
You're not scared?
No.
Me
never
either,
have
Mike.
Been, never will be.
Yeah.
I'm a brave man.
Just tell me when you're coming around the corner.
Get a little startled sometimes.
Thank you for tuning in, listening, supporting the podcast, spitballerspod.com.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.